Now, when you serve me, this pleasure isn't for you.
Mm.
All of you is for me. So your body is now mine. I'm going to use your body for my own pleasure. I'm going to bind you. I'm going to hurt you in ways that please me. The way that you derive happiness is from pleasing me. And so there's nothing you need to do just to let go and let me have you.
In this episode, I speak to Damiana Chi about living a life as a professional dominatrix. And I'm excited to share what all women can learn from dominatrixes about confidence and power and self-expression and seduction and energetic and psychological play. Damiana shares juicy things about what it is like to be a dominatrix and how to really empower yourself as a dominatrix and what kind of archetypes of a dominatrix are there and how to embody them and how to enjoy this superpower in our daily lives. Whether you've ever fantasized to be a dominatrix, whether you've ever been curious about what it is like to be in those rooms, or if you have no idea and just are listening to this podcast because you're interested in confidence and true empowerment, stay tuned. You are in for a treat. Mistress Damiana Chi has been a professional and lifestyle dominatrix in Los Angeles since 1999. She holds a PhD in clinical psychology, an MA in counseling psychology, a BA in behavioral sciences, and is a certified sexologist specializing in kink-centered counseling and life coaching. She's the author of The Dominatrix Archetypes and the founder of the Evolutionary Dominatrix Academy, where she personally mentors women worldwide in the art of conscious female domination.
So being a dominatrix, there is something called a classical art form of female domination. And this is an art form that has been passed down from the 1800s in Europe. Actually, it came from the London area. That is the particular art form that is the lineage that I learned from. There's a specific craft to it. There's a specific protocols to it. There's a specific language. It's really, really unique. I mean, I live in two worlds, really. I call it the vanilla world and the kink world.
Mm-hmm.
And in the vanilla world, you know, I have two daughters, two dogs, two cats, a house, you know, a mortgage payment, things like that, the normal life. But I've been a dominatrix now for 26 years. And on that side of my life, I have a studio in downtown LA. It's my BDSM dungeon. And that is where I see my clients. I have a stable of slaves. I call them slaves, but the term slave does not have a negative connotation. It's a very positive connotation. And it's actually an honor for someone to be called my personal slave. So it's a very different lifestyle that I lead over there. As I began this journey, it was incredible because, you know, I grew up in Los Angeles, but in a traditional Chinese upbringing. And so I was taught to be very shy and to basically not speak unless spoken to, that sort of thing. And so I had a lot of rebellion inside of me. I had a lot of things I want to say. And by the time I became a dominatrix, which I was in my 20s by then, it was so liberating to just speak my truth and to say whatever I want and to command men, to tell them what I wanted them to do for me and to order them and to have them bow to me and things like that. For me, it's the most healing journey that I've ever experienced. I call being a dominatrix the biggest self-love exercise that exists.
Biggest self-love, and from my side as a very beginner but a very curious person in this world, I must say it's also so challenging and therefore such a place where there are so many opportunities for growth. I feel like the challenge for a person like me, for example, is the confidence. I know having the confidence to be able to embody this energy of confident leadership and being able to command while being also really responsible and present with all the energy and actions and the craft itself. Yeah. It takes a lot of skill, and I'm in awe of it. Mm-hmm. And in this podcast episode, I want to uncover some of these secrets and mysteries. I guess my first thing that I want to ask you to ensure that some of our listeners do not get put off or scared by the usual stereotypes right away. I would love to touch upon this notion of exchange and consent and the beauty that both people receive in this experience, right? Mm-hmm. So in terms of being the slave, tell me what does that mean and why a lot of people actually want to embody that role?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad that you're speaking of it in this way, because you're right. There are a lot of misconstrued ideas out there about what a dominatrix truly is. But at the same time, there are many dominatrices, so-called dominatrices out there, who are doing these things irresponsibly. Maybe they're untrained or whatnot. But so there has been a longtime motto of BDSM. BDSM stands for bondage and discipline, sadism and masochism, and then the two middle initials in the middle, DS, stands for dominance and submission. So this is what we call it now. You know, in the old days, it was called S&M. It's now called BDSM. Mm-hmm. So the longtime motto of BDSM is safe, sane, consensual. But I am advocating to update that motto to safe, sane, consensual, and ethical, because ethics and consent are not the same thing. You can get someone's consent, but what you're doing might not be ethical. So I'm teaching my doms. I'm a mentor. I teach doms in an academy that I call the Evolutionary Dominatrix Academy. So I teach them how to be ethical doms. And when we are ethical doms, we are serving the submissive's highest good. So in the process of doing what we're doing, it is actually very healing to the sub. When a sub walks away from an experience with a conscious and ethical dom, they are feeling uplifted. They feel seen. They feel accepted for who they are in their full kink selves, you know, because actually the most common place that we humans carry shame is in our sexuality. And so when a submissive is seen for all of who they are in their all of their kinkiness, you know, sometimes this side of themselves isn't shown to anyone, not even their spouses. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very private, and a lot of them might feel a level of shame. It's very common. Shame about desiring it. Shame about being who they are, you know. And really, it's not something that can be helped, because kink sexuality is an actual sexual orientation. It's like being heterosexual or homosexual or asexual. Kink sexual is something that you cannot help but be.
Yeah.
So when a submissive comes to a dominatrix, and she not only sees them for who they are and accepts them for who they are, but want to actively engage in the play with them, it's overwhelmingly loving to do such a thing. Maybe they don't know it on a conscious level, but unconsciously or subconsciously, they will feel it. They will feel this strong sense of love and acceptance from the dom, a validation for who they are as a being, you know.
No, it's such a beautiful exchange where both people can be truly themselves and express. And on the surrender side, on the submissive side of things, there is a lot of vulnerability that is in place.
Exactly.
Yeah. Therefore, I'm really happy to shed light on it. Mm-hmm. Would you break down what does it mean to be kinky?
Yes. The general definition of being kinky is that you desire unconventional sex. I mean, it could be as unconventional as telling your partner that you want to tell them exactly what to do because you want to be the one in charge. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I want you to worship me this way. I want you to worship me that way. Do this to me, do that to me. That there's already a power dynamic there. If you talk about it like that, Everyone's sort of kinky, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just desiring unconventional sexuality, something that's unconventional or seen as anything other than like for the purpose of making a baby.
That's true. When people describe the word kinky and what it actually means, meaning unconventional or not normal, the question becomes like, what is normal?
Yeah.
And then therefore the definition becomes really broad.
Yes.
So,
right. That's why I think everyone's kinky.
Yeah, exactly.
To a degree.
Or at least when they are brave to admit what they truly desire, mm-hmm. we can always find a kink.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you become dominatrix?
Mm-hmm.
What was your path?
My path was very unusual because I accidentally became a dominatrix through the academic world. So I was, so I have a PhD in clinical psychology, but I also have a master's in counseling psychology, which I did that program before the PhD. So when I was in my master's program, I was given an assignment from one of my teachers. There's a book of disorders. It's called the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. It's called the DSM for short. And so here in the United States, we have this book that's used by psychologists and psychiatrists to diagnose what mental illness people have, right? So you go through the book and you're like, oh, okay, there's this kind of severe depression and there's this kind of manic disorder and this and that, you know, different disorder.
Yeah.
And so the most interesting, fascinating one that I found in there was sexual masochism.
Okay.
So I'm like, I don't want to study all these things that kind of sound depressing. I was never into psychopathology, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't an interest of mine. I wanted to understand how people tick. That was my interest in psychology. And so sexual masochism was the one I picked. And so I had the option of, you know, finding someone to interview for this paper. And so my sister told me that she had this so-called slave that she had met who was doing things for her, like running errands and cleaning her car and just doing things like that for her. And she called him her slave. Yeah. And so she didn't really know much about it either. It wasn't like she was working in a dungeon or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just this guy that she met and said, you know, I want to be your slave. I want you to just tell me what to do for you. I want to serve you. And so I interviewed him. When I interviewed him, it was so fascinating to hear about the psychology of why it was a turn on to him to be humiliated mentally and emotionally, right? Because he was put into pain, really. So masochism, the term masochism doesn't only mean physical masochism. It's mental masochism, emotional masochism, psychological, on all levels. You know, you want to be hurt in some way, you know? And so for him, it was humiliation, which is an extreme form of embarrassment, right? He wanted to be humiliated, and that was his kink. And so when I interviewed him, I found him so intelligent. I had a lot of self-awareness that I was like, wow, this is really, really cool, you know? And I didn't meet him in person for this interview. It was on the phone. But it was like maybe a few weeks after that or something, my sister said, hey, you know that slave of mine that you interviewed? Well, he's coming over to help us pack. We were moving. My sister and I were moving at the time because we were living together. Yeah. So she said, you got to be in dom mode. When you come home from work, just keep your high heels on, boss him around. So at the time, I was working in a corporate environment as an administrative assistant. And so I came home. Kept my high heels on, and for the first time, I see a submissive, and he was wearing women's panties, sitting in my living room, packing boxes, right? And so I was thinking to myself, "Wow, this is fascinating." I got a little thrill out of seeing him like this. He didn't say anything to me. I didn't say anything to him, but he knew I was there, and he was kind of, you know. And so at one point, he said to my sister, Miss, may I use the bathroom? And she said, yes, go ahead, but you have to sit on the toilet like a girl. And so he, you know, I saw him like scurrying over there to the bathroom, you know, and he left the door a little bit cracked open, like a few inches. And I wanted to follow him. I wanted to see if he was actually sitting on the toilet like he was told. So I went over there, and since the door was open a little bit, I pushed it wide open, and I said, "You don't get any privacy."
That
was the first thing that I had said to him in a dominant way, and he looked up at me like, oh. He looked frozen. He looked scared. He did not expect this to come from me, and so that was my first sort of dom high. I got even more of a thrill out of saying that to him than I did, you know, just seeing him in panties. So that was how it started. Afterwards, he called me on the phone and he said, "You know, I think you have something here. You know, there's some sort of natural ability you have. Would you like to play with me? May I also serve you? Can I come clean your house?" Mm-hmm. I moved into this tiny studio apartment. I said, "I want you to clean it." And so he did. He came over and he would clean for me and pay me $50 every time while I just kind of ordered him around.
That's amazing.
That was my very first paid session, I guess. So that's how it started. I played with him for like a couple of years before I started training, kind of like my formal training as a dominatrix with my mentors, who I would go and get trained by them with things like bondage and whipping and flogging and the more of the traditional BDSM activities that a dominatrix would do.
Yeah. How is the training? What does the training of a dominatrix entail?
Mm-hmm.
What do you learn?
Yeah.
How does it work?
So when I was trained, I did a series of weekend classes for 18 months. So for 18 months, I trained with them. It wasn't like every single weekend, but it was many weekends of the month, you know. I'd take classes on cock and ball bondage, nipple torture, flogging and whipping and some more extreme things too, like cutting and play piercing and things like that. You know, the range of things that I learned were vast. Because I came from a psychology background, what I found was missing from my personal training, from my mentors, was a psychological aspect, because you have to really get into the head of the submissive in order to dominate them the right way. You have to know how to verbally speak and say the right things in order to get them to respond to you and to really connect with them as a dom to a submissive. So that's why when I teach my mentees, the psychology is a big part of it, you know. So I teach a lot of psychological domination, and I teach some of the physical things as well. Of course, I teach the traditional activities as well.
I want to really know all about what you teach women in the academy, especially on the psychological side. Just want to comment on the psychological side, and from my perspective as a more of a naturally submissive person. I'm discovering domination for myself. I'm getting really curious and speaking to people like you and bringing them on the podcast and doing events together, because where I see my challenge there, I see that that's not something that's natural. It's rather something that I would want to learn for my personal empowerment. While on the submissive side, I can feel how much depth of not even pleasure, but something beyond that, like a certain level of relaxation and surrender that is not easy to get elsewhere, can be received from a domination submission kind of experience. While for me personally, pain is not a big part of it. It's not like the main thing that I would want to receive. It's more the psychological play of being in service that for some reason puts me personally in a state of bliss and letting go of the world around that is so difficult to do, and you know, in busy life. And that's a beautiful service of a dom.
So you're describing what we call subspace.
Subspace is amazing.
It's an altered state. It is you're like in a meditative state.
And it feels like it's such an art that is required by a dominatrix or by a dom to hold such a space where someone can truly let go. And I am curious on what do you as a dominatrix do to create such a subspace from psychological perspective.
I teach with four archetypes within a dominatrix. So I have a book called The Dominatrix Archetypes, and there are four main archetypes within a dominatrix: the authoritarian, the seductress, the mother and the queen. These are four archetypes mm-hmm. within the dominatrix. But when a dominatrix has all of these aspects of herself well developed, then she is what I call a multidimensional dominatrix. Mm-hmm. Where the skill comes from is, if I'm a multidimensional dominatrix, each archetype is actually dominating different aspects of the submissive. And there are different types of, I call it connections. Like the authoritarian is the mental connection. The seductress is the erotic connection. The mother is the emotional connection. And the queen is the spiritual connection. Mm-hmm. And so when, let's say, you are my submissive, I have to know you in such a way, I have to know about who you are as an individual, what your kink psychology is. Of course, we're going to have lots of talks before we start playing. Mm-hmm. So when I have a good understanding of what your submissive kink psychology is, then I know what levels of each archetype to pull out in me in order to inspire the different responses that I want to elicit from you. Let's just say that you like a very nurturing and strict dominatrix. Mm-hmm. So I will know, okay, well, and then I'm going to pull out my authoritarian first and foremost so that I can put down the rules, lay down the rules, tell you exactly how I want you to kneel before me, where I want your eyes, how I want your body to be positioned, everything. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, you know, to listen only to my voice. Just very controlled. Mm-hmm. This is the authoritarian. The mother archetype is going to come out and say, there's nothing that you need mm-hmm. to already know as my beginning submissive because I'm here to train you to be exactly what I want you to be. So mm-hmm. I don't want you to even know anything. I want a blank slate from you. So what your job is to do for me is to completely let go and let your mind go, because I'm going to put the thoughts in your mind. I'm going to put my thoughts into your mind. Your thoughts are going to be out the door. You're going to leave your thoughts at the door. So I'm reassuring you, like, I don't want you to worry about, oh, am I doing things right or whatever, you know. The seductress part of me is going to be really important too, because the seductress is the erotic connection, and there has to be an erotic connection in order for this to be exciting. The eroticism is the excitement part, because if there's none of that, there's no like eros, there's no fire, right? And so when I say to you, so my seductress side of me is going to say to you, now, when you serve me, this pleasure isn't for you. Mm. All of you is for me. So your body is now mine. I'm going to use your body for my own pleasure. I'm going to bind you. I'm going to hurt you in ways that please me. The way that you derive happiness is from pleasing me. And so there's nothing you need to do, just to let go and let me have you. Because when I have you, you know, so I'm trying to describe to you, like, this isn't about your pleasure. Because if it's about your pleasure, then now we're talking about top-bottom dynamic. But dom-sub dynamic is much more intense, emotionally intense. Yeah. It's about, like, I want what I want, and you're here to serve me for those pleasures. Yeah. And if you get some pleasure out of it, that's just a side effect. It's not my main goal. Right? My main goal is my pleasure, taking my pleasure from you, from your pain, from your humiliation or whatever it is. And then just to finish the archetypes, the queen aspect of it would be like, you know, putting you below me, making you know that I'm above you. I want you below me. I want to see you below me. My position is above you because I am dominant and you are submissive. So you are to look up to me. You are to worship me. There's a part of me that is channeling the divine dark feminine aspect into my person, right? The divine feminine has light and dark aspects. Yeah. They're all divine. There's nothing evil or bad about the divine dark. Yeah. It's just the divine dark aspect of a woman are menacing. We are in control. We are creative. You know, we are passionate, which we can play out in a dominatrix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's to me, it sounds like a beautiful and really responsible position. It's like you bring through you so much, and in a position of a dom, to me, from a place of a sub, I'm like, whoa, you have to do so much work, like to be so present and so powerful and have all these ideas and stay connected to your confidence and to your power, like to your authority, which is very impressive. And I wonder, how do you teach that to women in your academy, including the archetypes? Like, how do you help embody each archetype?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I break it down archetype by archetype. It's an online academy, so I watch them dominate online. They dominate either my submissive coach. I have submissive coaches that work for me in the academy, or they can dominate their own submissive who is there with them in their room or whatever. There's like a lessons that I provide for them describing each archetype in the academy.
Yeah.
I also describe these archetypes in my book as well. So so they study the archetypes and then they dominate in the style of the, let's say, authoritarian. And then I critique them. I critique them and I say, oh, okay, so this is what you said. I would have wanted you to say it a little bit more dominantly like this. For example, the simplest lesson in the vocal style of a dominatrix is that you speak in the manner of a command, which is when you give a command, there's a period at the end, not a question mark, not a comma.
Yeah.
It's very common for women to speak in commas like this.
Yeah.
Like, I want you to go over there and bring me a glass of water and then sit and kneel before me. I correct them and I say, don't say, I want you to bring me a glass of water. Say, go get me a glass of water. Bring it to me here now.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so it's simpler. It's more to the point. You know what you want and you express it the way you want it. There's no like hesitancy in the way that sounds, you know. So I just kind of tweak their language. And then so the way someone becomes a dominatrix is really the practice of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just practicing the way you speak, practicing not only the way you speak, but the way you exude your energy. Because, you know, sometimes someone will say something, but they don't sound dominant. They'll sound like they're reading from a script.
Yeah.
And it doesn't come from them, their authentic energy. It sounds fake. So I train them, you know, my sub coaches also train them because it's very important for them to get feedback from the submissive point of view. How did they react from that? How did they feel? Did they feel submissive hearing that? You know, so they get both the dominant mentor as a perspective and then the submissive, the very experienced submissive perspective.
Yeah. It sounds like a training that every woman would benefit from, even if they don't want to be a dominatrix.
Oh, it is. It is. It so is because it's and many women do come into the academy with just the simple goal of becoming more of their true selves, you know?
Yeah.
So it is and a like, personal empowerment course for sure.
Becoming brave and liberating your voice.
Yes.
Because for a lot of people, just saying a command without making it a question can be a huge challenge, but then it's so transformative for our lives when we can actually speak properly and say what we need to say.
And you know, it's very useful in life. Like, you know, like let's say you're ordering from a menu and you like to the food server, you're like, I don't know, maybe I would like an appetizer. I don't know. What do you recommend? It's very common, right? Instead of like, I'd like to start with an appetizer. Give me a recommendation.
Yeah.
You know?
It sounds like when more confidence in you gives more freedom to whoever is serving to serve you better.
It's like it takes the pressure off of them. It really does take the pressure off of them when you're not putting so much responsibility on their side, even as simple as a food server, you know?
Yeah.
So now they have to choose for you, you know what I mean? Like they just want to take your order and go to the kitchen.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, of course, they're trained to give recommendations and all of that, but in a food server's dream, everybody's just going to give them what they want and they can just go do their job.
Yeah, but it is so life-changing to be able to have this level of confidence and empowerment.
It really is.
Is there anything else that is very interesting that you'd like to share from the academy? How do women learn? Like, I'm really curious. It's such an art. So I'm curious how you teach.
So I teach where I give like my written lessons. I have slide presentations about each concept so that they understand the psychology of each concept that I'm teaching. And then I have videos of me dominating. Mm-hmm. So they watch me dominate and then they can see me dominating and they can also watch their dom sisters dominating on the calls. So we meet on Zoom calls every week. When there's one dom that's dominating on the call, then the other doms who are watching them, we call it a fishbowl domination where the fish is in the bowl and we're all watching, right? And so when women watch, when the other students watch the domination that's being done by their dom sister, they're learning from her domination style. They're learning from my feedback and from the sub coach's feedback. It's a very efficient way to learn because, you know, they get so much inspiration from learning from different styles of domination, because it's really difficult to, how do you learn domination from a book? You can't really, you have to really see it and experience it and feel the energy of it visually. So that's what we do. And then also there's Q&A, you know, I also do personal coaching. Whenever any of my mentees has a question, she brings it to the Zoom call. I answer it and we discuss it in depth. You know, sometimes we discuss one question, it takes 30 minutes to answer it because everybody's learning from it, from this.
Yeah. And what are the most common challenges women face when they want to learn to become a dom?
Yes.
In your experience. Yeah.
A common one is like, I think they're being too nice. You know, like they say they're doing something that they think is domination, but to me it doesn't sound like a dominatrix. And that's perfectly natural because they don't have a lot of examples of a dominatrix to experience, to hear, to see. And so when they say, oh, I was being, you know, dominant to this person, I always say, no, don't say please. Don't thank them. Take those social niceties out of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I had to learn this from when I first started too. I had to stop saying thank you. I had to stop saying you're welcome when a submissive thanks me, you know? Let's say I give an order to a submissive. Kneel in front of me. Avert your eyes downward. You're not allowed to look at me unless I tell you to. Yes, mistress. Thank you, mistress. You're welcome. It just it kind of like downplays the takes away the dominance. So I teach, don't say you're welcome. Don't have the, it's kind of like a automatic response, socially ingrained response to say you're welcome. We're not obliged to say anything. We're the dominatrix. I don't, you know, I'm not obliged to say any niceties. And they don't expect it. And also when a dom is too nice, the submissive feels uncomfortable.
For sure.
You sound like you've been there before. It feels uncomfortable because you're thinking now they don't think that they can be dominant enough to me. You know, you want your dom.
It's like a power, right? Like if you're not confident that your dom has enough power, then you can't really relax.
Yes, exactly. Scary. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You can't really relax. You want to say in your mind, oh, you don't have to say that. In your mind, you're saying that, you know, or you're feeling that, right? You don't have to say you're welcome, you know. The common thing is the social niceties and also filler words. Like a lot of filler words, it's how we talk in conversation. We say, okay, this, okay, that. And so we take those away and it sounds much more streamlined. So, okay, sub, now do this for me. Okay, now do this. Instead of like, now take those away, I teach them, take those away. Now say, slave, do this. Slave, go there. Come here now. Yeah. Instead of the filler words, you know. Take those away.
Yeah.
Kind of like how you would command a dog. You would command a dog, say, sit, roll over. You don't say, okay, now dog, it's time for you to roll over. You don't say that. You say short commands. They want a master in you.
So another thing I see here is like getting rid of the nice girl, like the nice girl complex.
Right, right. Because you don't have to take care of them.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want you to take care of them. They want you to command them. They want you to be in control of them. A job of a dominatrix is not to be responsible for their feelings because they've already given you the power. You want to be in this fantasy world where you're with a dominant.
Yeah.
And so you want to let go of that feeling of it being in the normal world. So you want to speak as different from yourself as possible. Mm.
And that brings me to a question of what is it like to actually live your life as a dominatrix? Because it's such a powerful position and something that is so mysterious for most people.
Mm.
What's your life like?
Well, you know, I have two beautiful daughters. They're two teenage daughters. They're just the sweetest, kindest, most thoughtful, very, very confident as well beings. And I think that I really believe that my example of knowing who I am and speaking my mind and being a confident woman in charge has really given them that example to see, because I think that it's very important, especially for a mom of daughters, to be able to be this type of woman as an example. You know, when I have had to raise daughters, I actually read a parenting book a long time ago when my children were like in preschool, and it said very similar things as I do as a dom. Mm. It said, when you want to be in charge of your children, they want you to be in control and in charge. The way that you want to order them to do something is you say very short, go brush your teeth now, or even teeth now. Or something like that. And it says the wrong way to parent is, why haven't you brushed your teeth? You know, it's already you're very late for bedtime already. Like I thought I told you already half an hour ago to brush your teeth. Now to the child, it sounds like nagging.
Yeah.
But when you eliminate the words and make it very streamlined, brush your teeth, it sounds very like confident. You're not being mean. It doesn't sound mean. It just sounds like it's time to brush your teeth now. They want that. They need leadership from you. Your children need leadership. They don't want to nag. Unconsciously, when a parent nags, the child thinks, oh, you know, then I'm just going to do this tomorrow. I'm just going to like wait a half an hour and let her nag me a half an hour later. You know, they think that you're not confident enough. When you're doing that, it's a signal of like a little lack of confidence.
I've sensed it. What I had some massive like light bulb in my life that I feel like really helped me as an entrepreneur. It's on the energetics of feeling someone else's confidence. I remembered that with this one moment forever. And then I did relate to it when I was studying a bit of this power dynamics. That was on the business meeting, and I feel like all these dominatrix skills are so useful when you want to be a woman in business.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of feeling whether someone is confident or no, definitely affects the performance of that one person that is being assessed for their confidence. But I felt in one moment that when I was pitching for investment, for a few hundred thousand pounds, which is a serious investment when I'm 22 years old, and I was pitching to this banker in a restaurant, and I had like these papers with financial projections, like lots of papers. And he was looking at them and he asked me a question that I couldn't answer. I was like, oh, shit, I have no idea. But I felt that in that moment, it's not the answer that matters. It's the confidence that I will show to him that it's going to be fine if he gives me the money.
Mm.
So instead, I connected to something in my body and I was like, I'm just going to show him that I know what I'm doing. And I changed how I feel. I did not explain what he asked. I just told him it's going to be fine. And he agreed to invest.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh. Because another part of me would usually be like, shit, I just need to tell him what is it exactly. I tried to get the answer, but I just felt that he wants just the reassurance.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, many people and children and subs, and there is always some sort of power dynamic going on everywhere,
yeah,
all the time.
That's right.
And people just want confidence. I totally relate to that.
Right.
It's
fascinating. I think that's great. You know, you can confidently, like in your situation that you just described, you can confidently say to the person, you know, I don't know the answer to that,
but I can
tell you that I have this very organized plan, blah, 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 blah. Right.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Yeah. Instead of trying to answer or lie or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're coming to an end, but I have some spicy questions.
Great.
I want to hear from you. What is it that you like?
Well, you know, I've been a professional dominatrix now for, this is my 26th year, and I've been a lifestyle dom for close to 30 years now. So I've been a dominatrix for a long time. And so when I play very high level. I play very sadistically, you know. So I have a lot of submissives that I own as submissives. You know, they are my lifestyle owned slaves. And so what turns me on is the aspect of force. Whenever a submissive, let's say, doesn't want to do something, it turns me on to make them do it, you know. So, of course, I'm never going to cross any hard limit lines. There's going to be some hard, but if there's some soft limits, I like to push those boundaries. So pushing boundaries, you know, and pushing them towards the way that I want. Those things are very delicious to me.
Yeah, I see. Mm-hmm. And what is it like to have these established slaves? I mean, do you order them to clean your house regularly as well? Like, is this something that you do or it's...
So I don't have them clean the inside of my house because, you know, I do live a vanilla lifestyle here with my family.
Okay.
But I have several slaves and I have one slave who's like a handyman. You know, he comes and he fixes things. Mm-hmm. He puts up my Christmas lights when it's around the holidays. He does things like that. He's even, you know, does things like take my animals to the vet if I need that or whatever. He does sort of like these types of things that are not like cleaning.
Yeah.
I do have a cleaning slave that cleans my dungeon. I have a space. I have another space in where I don't live. It's where my BDSM dungeon is. And so I have a cleaning slave over there and he cleans for me a couple of times a week, gets down on his knees, scrubs the floor, you know, just really cleans it. And it just so happens that my maid that I hire for my home is also a man. And I just found him.
You pay him, right?
I pay him. Yes, I found him from a cleaning service. And I've had female maids before, but I find it very easy to order men around. And so I prefer him. He's great, you know, but it's a business relationship here.
Yeah. I just had to ask this question. This is my greatest fantasy. Just somebody cleaning my house as I order them, but I'll get there.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing, you know. All my slaves do different things for me. I have a secretary who's a slave of mine who does all the secretary and administrative stuff for me. I have another one who's a graphic artist, and, I'm always needing graphic art and video editing and things like that, and so they do those things for me. You know, so all of my needs, I sort of fit somebody in there somewhere, whatever they're good
That's
at, you
incredible.
Know. Yeah, I'm doing a 3-day workshop this weekend in my studio, so I just have I have this new slave of mine who I'm kind of like, I'm trying him out, you know, and he's done really well. He spent like hours shampooing my carpet at because I have these huge rugs at my studio, so he spent like hours shampooing them and getting my space prepared for the workshop this weekend.
I love it.
It's a wonderful
Thank
life.
You so much. Yes.
I mean, and thing is, like, I always show my slaves appreciation because we're not like in a scene where I'm not saying thank you. So when I'm outside of a scene and it's my normal life, I thank my slaves. I tell them how much I appreciate them. They feel good from the praise, you know?
Yeah. Sounds like aftercare. That was Mistress Damiana Chi. And if you're interested in learning the art of domination, we invite you to check out her Dominatrix Academy. And I'm linking it in this episode description. If you enjoyed this episode and you're still here with me, I'm inviting you to leave us a rating on whatever platform you're listening to this episode. This will truly light up my day and support this podcast so that we can continue sharing empowering stories for women. And I have a little announcement for you. On the April 10th, we're starting the Feminine Power Blueprint online course. It is a 3-month online journey led by 10 incredible teachers where you get to learn how to work with your feminine energy and sexual energy to enrich all areas of your life, from love to sex to money to your career to your confidence. You can access the true power that lives inside you that was stigmatized and shamed for so long because it's so powerful. We are going to show you embodiment practices and tantric practices and mindset shifts, and we're going to hold your hands through this path alongside 10 incredible teachers and amazing women who are already joining this course from Australia and US and United Kingdom and Germany and Austria and Portugal and Spain. We have an amazing, amazing community of women already in this course, and we have early birds available before the 10th of March. So if you want to join this with a big discount, I invite you to join right now and check out all the information about this course linked in this episode description. That was Maria Granina, and I'm the host of the Feminine Power Podcast and the Feminine Magnetism Coach, and I'm excited to continue sharing more with you on this podcast.